First Chronicles chapter 4. And I want you to look at two verses of Scripture. First Chronicles chapter 4, some familiar verses. We're going to pull some things out of there. And at some point in this message, you're going to hear something you haven't heard before. First Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 9 and verse number 10. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and verse number 10. It states, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Watch this. "And God granted him that which he requested." This is the fourth message in this series that I've been doing, this mini series on prayer. In case you missed it, you missed some or one, the very first message I preached Wednesday before last was how to pray for those you love. How do you pray for them? The second message was entitled, "That Was Some Kind of Prayer," last Sunday, dealing with Abraham's prayer and how he prayed for Lot and man wanted to get Lot out of a bad situation. And then the third message that I did in this series was, we must learn to pray like Elijah prayed. That was last Wednesday night. And we showed you from the Word of God how Elijah prayed and God met with us this past Wednesday night. And now today, this is going to be the fourth message in this series. And before I even give you the title, let me say, regardless of your age in here, no matter how old or how young you are, you must develop a prayer life. Notice I did not say you should develop a prayer life, because sometimes when you use the word should, that seems like as if it's optional. No, it's not optional. You must, it's imperative that you develop a prayer life. And the younger you develop your prayer life, the stronger you'll be as you get older. And all of us in this building should be prayers. But sometimes you won't really do what you need to do until you understand the power that you have at your control. And this morning I'm speaking on the subject, the power of prayer. The power of prayer from this passage right here. Let's get some help. Father, we want to thank you for what our ears have heard from the United Praisers and from Brother Craig, Father, how in the congregational songs, Father, and how your presence, Father, has been ushered into the building today. Father, we thank you that you're a wonderful God who loves us. And Father, you desire so much from us. And yet, Father, you desire so much for us. And I pray that even now that you would, Father, please give me the fullness of thy Holy Spirit. Control me. Help me to say those things you desire for me to say. Help me to be very clear about what can transpire. Help me to be a blessing and a help to your people, an encouragement, a source of strength, and yes, direction. And if there is somebody under the sound of my voice who knows not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the glad hour that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit and help them to come and receive Christ before it's eternally too late. Again, Father, have your will and your way. In Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said, you know, this is a tremendous chapter. Now, if you would read the first eight verses of First Chronicles chapter 4, all you see is just genealogies. And you see this person begat this person and so forth. And then if you start at verse number 11, then you start seeing some of the same thing. And sometimes when you're reading through a book like Chronicles, and this is a chapter that's easy for you to skip over, and sometimes you can just kind of go through the motions of it. But right in the midst of what is right here, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and right in the midst of the genealogies, and by the way, there's a purpose for the genealogical timetable also, there's a purpose for that, but I won't get into that today. But right in the midst of all of this, there's this little, if I could call it, parenthesis. There seems to be just these two verses that stand out from amongst all the verses that are around it, because it gives commentary about a particular individual, and his name is Jabez. By the way, you won't find Jabez's name anywhere else in the Bible. This is the only commentary that we have on Jabez. Now, one other time you will find a town called Jabez, one other time in the Word of God, even prior to this. But as far as Jabez, his name, this is the only commentary that we have on him. But my, it's loaded. And it tells us something about the power of prayer. And even when I was going through this, there were other things that I thought, my, I could come right back to the same passage and preach on it again, because it's just so much in these two verses. But I'm going to pull a couple of things out of here today that can help us to understand the power that we have at our disposal, the power of prayer. One man who his name was John Hyde. And he read this prayer, and after reading this prayer, and it spoke to his heart, and it literally transformed his life, and he became known as Praying Hyde throughout church history. And so I don't know what it might do for your life today. I'm hoping and praying and trusting that each one, it will meet you in whatever area you need to be touched today. But it really embraced his life and allowed him to become a prayer warrior that other people knew about, and that he could shake the kingdom of darkness and get answers from the kingdom of light. As children of God, I want us to be people who know what it is to unleash the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Number one, in case you're taking notes, prayer can lift you above ridicule and rejection. Let me say that again. Prayer can lift you above ridicule and rejection. Before I even read the scripture, I just wonder today, any time in your life, and I don't need to see a show of hands, but I wonder if there's been any time in your life when you've been ridiculed, any time in your life when you have been rejected. Well, listen, give me a good hearing today. Prayer can lift you above ridicule and rejection. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And notice verse 9 and verse 10a. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. In Hebrew, the name Jabez literally means to grieve, or he will cause pain, or he will cause sorrow. Now, let me say, it was not Jabez's fault that his mother had a hard labor, and as a result of her hard labor, she gave him the name of Jabez, and he had to live with that name all of his life. As I mentioned before, there are so many things that I could preach on. I don't want to sidetrack, because this is not part of the message today, but as I said, even looking at it, sometimes in life, a person can inflict pain upon your life because of the pain and sorrow that they're going through. And there are times when you have to know how to deal with something like that. There are times when children have grown up in an abusive home, all because a parent or parents in that home did not know how to handle the things that were in their lives. And sometimes you would have a drunken father who didn't know how to handle the problems in his life. And so, in order to try to drown his problems, he'd get us some alcohol and drink alcohol to try to drown his sorrows. And then he'd come home and take out his wrath upon a child, or his wrath upon a mate. And it's a sad thing for somebody to have to either grow up or to have to experience something like that. Well, see, Jabez, he had a label put on him because of the hurt that his mother was experiencing at that time. But I just want to say, praise God, you can rise above anything that takes place in your life if you know how to kneel in prayer. This is not the only time in the Bible when somebody who was dealing with something, going through a birth, who literally wanted to put the pain that they were experiencing upon another human being, But that person had somebody to stand up for them. Look with me, and we're coming back to 1 Chronicles, but look with me in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. And I want you to notice verse 16. Genesis 35 and verse 16. Genesis 35 and notice verse 16. And in case you don't understand, you didn't fully understand what I was saying, I'm not giving an excuse to anybody. Well, anytime somebody does something, they have to answer for it. But I'm saying that sometimes people will inflict things upon you because of what they're going through. They can't handle what they're dealing with. But like I said, that could be another whole sermon in itself. Genesis chapter 35, notice verse number 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. In other words, she was going to have the child, but she knew that she was dying. That she called his name Benoni, which means son of my pain. But thank God Benjamin had somebody to stand up for him. But his father called his name Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Now keep that in mind. Here in Genesis 35, or there, if you flip back to Chronicles, in Genesis 35, as she was literally giving birth, thank God that Jacob stood up and said, no, he will not have that label put upon him. No, he will not have that name put upon him. He's going to be called not Benoni, but Benjamin, son of my right hand. And that's an honorable name. But see, I don't know everything that was transpiring in the life of Jabez. But see, Jabez, when his mother said he's going to cause pain, he's going to cause sorrow, he didn't have someone, a father, who stood up for him and said, no, you will not put that kind of name on him. And so he had to bear that name all of his life. It's bad when somebody will put a label on you, when somebody will put a tag on you. And Jabez's mother was basically saying, you're going to cause pain to people. It's hard when you have someone who's close to you, who rejects you and ridicules you. It's hard when you have a mate or a child or a parent or a sibling or a relative or a good friend, or when anybody that you come into contact with rejects you and ridicules you. It is hard, but praise God, prayer can lift you above rejection. Prayer can lift you above ridicule. You say, preacher, no, it can't. Oh, yes, it can. Listen, you want to know how Jabez made it? He made it through prayer. Through prayer. Let me give you your prime example. Because there is one I can elevate in the scripture even above Jabez. Oh, his name starts with the J. His name is Jesus. Jesus knew what it was to be ridiculed. Jesus knew what it was to be rejected. The Bible says in St. John chapter 1 and verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God the next verse says, but to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But the Jews by and large rejected him. We know that, of course, the Jews, many of them accepted him, of course, but the nation as a whole rejected him. The Jews as a whole rejected him. Listen, Jesus at one time was lauded by some people. In other words, he was praised by people. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But then less than 1 week later, he was no longer lauded by those people. Now he was loathed by those people when they said, crucify him, crucify him. Now, how do you handle something like that? How did Jesus handle it? All you have to do is just look at the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross at that mob that was around him. And through prayer, he said, Father, forgive me. For they know not what they do. Do you see the power of prayer? Do you know in our own flesh, when we are ridiculed, in our own flesh, when we are rejected, one thing that our own flesh would want to do is ridicule back, fight back. It takes prayer to have the strength and the courage to say, you know what, I'm going to leave it alone. God, you take full control. Prayer will lift you above ridicule. Listen, if you're on the job and people are rejecting you and ridiculing you, I'll tell you what you do. Don't try to get in the midst of them and roll your sleeves up. You just get alone with God in prayer, and God can take care of anything that's going on in your life. And by the way, oftentimes, what he will do is he'll call you deeper when you're right in the midst. And he might just say, why don't you just go in the midst of that crazy crowd and just do something good for them? And sometimes you may start to argue and say, God, I can't. But God will say, yes, you can. Because sometimes you need to do what I ask you to do. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? See how God just puts everything together. I'm telling you, when we get to the place, when we understand what prayer can do, it can lift you from rejection and ridicule. You don't have to walk around with your head held down because somebody has rejected you. Through prayer, you ought to realize you are accepted in the beloved. God loves you. If your mother and your father forsakes you, he said, I will lift you up. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have anybody to talk to. You don't have anybody that you can share your heart with. I'm telling you, you've got somebody that you can share your heart with, and he will always give you his undivided attention. He can lift you out of it. You remember in the New Testament, there was a man. This man preached one sermon in the Bible that we have recorded. His name was Stephen. He preached, and after he preached, conviction set in. But sometimes when conviction set in, it doesn't always necessarily mean that someone will get converted. Conviction set in. The Bible says they were pricked to their heart. Conviction set in, but instead of receiving Christ, they hated the messenger. And they came to Stephen so much so until they literally, the Bible says, they bit him. And then they stoned him. And as Stephen was departing, Stephen said, I see heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, how did he leave this earth? Did he leave this earth bitter at the people who were around him? If he operated in the flesh, he could have been. But what did he say? He said he bowed his head. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And he gave up the ghost. That's a euphemism for death. He went on to be with the Lord. Do you understand? Prayer can lift you out of above ridicule and rejection. If you feel ridiculed and rejected, go to God in prayer, because prayer is powerful. Secondly, prayer can override a bad family. Prayer can override a bad family. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9a. It says, and his mother called. Verse 9a. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Matter of fact, if you will look at the text and take it the way it is written, it literally means that his brethren were not men of nobility, excuse me, men of noble character and men of honorable reputation. In other words, Jabez lived amongst his brethren, but yet they did not affect who he was. See, prayer can deliver you from a bad family. It can override a bad family. Jabez had to come up with a name that literally means he will cause pain. And he had to deal with the rejection and the ridicule that his name would have brought to him. But he overcame that, and he overcame a bad family by praying to God. Prayer is powerful. Let me tell you, you don't have to be like other people around you. Sometimes we talk about peer pressure, and everybody has peer pressure. It's not just the young. Everybody has peer pressure. But you don't have to be like those around you, because through prayer, God can give you the power to be able to stand and be different than anybody else. Who was it that was taken from his homeland? Daniel. Who was it that said, I'm not going to defile myself with a portion of the king's meat or with the king's wine? Daniel. Who was it that had to trust God? And who was a constant prayer to God, even when he was young, and did not allow the influence around him to change him? Daniel. And by the way, he had about three more companions: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And see, through prayer, you don't have to allow what's going on around you to change you. And you can't make an excuse about the kind of family that you grew up in and the kind of home that you grew up in, because through prayer can override all of that and can lift you to a place of honor and character. Even if your brother is not honorable, if your sister is not honorable, if your mother or father is not honorable or not honorable, God can allow you to be honorable if you pray and talk to him and determine you're going to do what you need to do. Prayer is powerful. You don't have to be like the other people around you. It can lift you out of a bad family. I know what it's like to grow up in a bad situation. I won't give you my testimony, but I know what it's like to grow up in a bad situation. And I could look and begin to say, well, I can't be a good father, or I can't, or I could say I've got to hit the bottle because, you know, my grandfather who reared me drank. Or I could say, well, I can't help beating my wife because my grandfather beat his wife, and I've seen them fighting and so forth. Hey, I could try to use an excuse, but there is no excuse. And by the way, Jesus, when he comes into your life, he changes you. And the more you pray and talk to him and operate according to this book, you will be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The Bible says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the scripture teaches us. We're supposed to be a little Jesus walking around on this earth. We're supposed to be reflecting we're supposed to be the lower light reflecting the larger light. That's why the songwriter said, let the lower lights be burning. Listen to me today. You cannot use your family as an excuse if you're not what you're supposed to be. Because praise God, through prayer, you can become what you need to be. You can say, Father, help me not to operate like so-and-so operated. You can fill in the blank. Father, help me to be an honorable person. Father, help me to love my wife. Help me to love my husband. Help me to love my children. Help me to love my brother. Help me to love my sister. Father, help me to do what's right. See, you cannot use your family as an excuse. And today you have many who are out here trying to teach generational. No. There are no generational, because Jesus comes in and wipes all that out. We cannot make an excuse. Prayer can override a bad family. Number three, prayer brings the blessings of God and increases our influence. Prayer brings the blessings of God and increases our influence. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10b. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." The word coast literally means border. In other words, he wanted God's blessings upon his life that would result in a greater influence. And praise God, God granted him his request. Listen, prayer can bring true blessings upon your life and cause you to have influence in the lives of others. You want God's blessings upon your life. You want God to use you and expand you and broaden your coast. Then I'll tell you what you do. You come to him in prayer and talk to him. And as I said, be very specific. See, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, enlarge my borders, give me a greater influence." Listen, if that is our desire, then we can pray specifically and God can bless us. Sometimes you don't know what God can do through you if you just open yourself up to him and allow him to have his way. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can lift you above ridicule and rejection. Prayer can override a bad family. Prayer brings the blessings of God and increases our influence. Number four, prayer brings power and direction from God. Prayer brings power and direction from God. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10c. It says, "And that thine hand might be with me." Now, sometimes when we read that, we're trying to figure, okay, what does this hand mean? Because there are different words for the word hand. But here, this literally means an open hand. An open hand. What does that mean? That literally means God's power and God's direction. He was saying, "I've got to have your power upon my life." And yet, he's saying, "I must have your direction upon my life." Do you know when we ordain someone, we literally will lay an open hand upon them. See, a closed hand literally means judgment. For example, let's just say if somebody is standing up here and I see impending danger, a car coming up, normally I'm going to run over to that person with both my open hands and push the person out of the way. I'm not going to run up to the person in their chest with a closed fist and knock the person out, because now they will get some serious injury. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the open hand in the Bible, carries with it the idea of power, direction. By the way, it does not stop there. It also means provision. You understand what I'm saying? But I chose those two just dealing with this right here. But it means power, direction, and provision. You remember God said one time, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." Open hand. He's not coming for judgment. There's times when he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Rod of iron. That means that he is ruling and reigning with authority and judgment for those who will need it. But see, as children of God, we ought to want the hand of God to be with us. We ought to want his power and direction
in our lives. And prayer is powerful. And it can bring the power of God upon your life. And the power of God is even needed for us to get our prayers answered like they ought to. I quote the scripture often. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Prayer brings power and direction from God. Number five, prayer, and this is the last one, prayer makes us victorious in life. Prayer makes us victorious in life. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10d. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. I'm going to stop right there. There's some more to it, but I'm going to stop right there. In other words, Jabez did not want to do evil or bad. Because he knows, just like we should know, that our gains can oftentimes become losses when we start doing evil. And sometimes everything that we have worked for and the things that God has blessed us with, we can do evil and all of a sudden we start losing those things that we had worked for. And the scripture admonishes us even in that area. And so Jabez, he was praying, hey, I don't want to experience evil. I want you to keep me from evil. And then he said that it may not grieve me. Now, the word grieve literally means to cause pain. Remember, his name means he will cause pain. So what he's saying is he's literally taking a play on his name. And he's saying, I don't want to live up to my name. I don't want to be one who experiences pain. I don't want to be one who would cause pain. That's what the word grief literally means, cause pain. And so he's saying, I want to rise above my name. I know what they're calling me. But I want to rise above my name. And in case you think I'm on an island by myself, I searched yesterday to check to see if anybody else said the same thing. And I found Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary. And it states, this is an allusion to the meaning of his name. Jabez signified grief. And the import of this petition is, let me not experience the grief which my name implies. In other words, Jabez knew. So you know I'm not on the island by myself. Jabez knew that if he did not walk the right way and he lived up to his name, then evil, then people would begin to say, see, I told you there wasn't anything to him. He's just living out his name. He's operating according to his name. And Jabez said, I want to rise above that. And he knew if he didn't walk right, that he would receive even more ridicule. But except for now, it would be seemingly justified. But praise God, prayer brought victory in his life. And God granted him his request. Let me say as I get ready to close, nobody in this building today has to fall prey to sin. Nobody in this building today has to live a life of sin. Nobody in this building today have to destroy their testimony. And let me say, the greatest thing you've got is your testimony. Cars will come and go. Houses will come and go. Clothes will come and go. But you want to have a great testimony. And when people think about you and they call your name, you would want them to not think of you as one who calls who causes pain, or one who is unfaithful, or one who does not walk with God. You want them to equate great things with your name. And the only way that that's going to happen is you have to know what it is to pray and ask God to keep you from the evil so that you won't have to experience grief and pain and cause others grief and pain, because no one's an island. And when we go down as individuals, it always affects somebody else. Somebody else is always affected. Sometimes it could be a sibling, and it can be another brother or sister that's affected. Sometimes it could be a parent, and the kids or children are affected. Sometimes it could be a child that mess a parent up, or friends up. It always affects somebody. But thank God, through prayer, we can rise above that and not allow our years to be wasted away and pined away in regret and grief, when they could be years that are glorious and blessed because God's hand is upon us. I hope by the grace of God that you will pray, oh God, help me not to destroy my testimony. If somebody in this building today and you're thinking about going a certain direction, don't go in that direction. You stay true to God. And the only way you can do it is through prayer. Prayer will strengthen you sometimes when you feel like giving up. Prayer will strengthen you when you feel like doing wrong. Prayer, it can lift you above ridicule, override a bad family, bring God's blessings, increase your ministry, provide power and direction, and make you victorious in life and not a victim. Let's bow for prayer.